Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up in a bit, we're going to do a little bit of a temperature check. I just want to know where you guys sit midweek. We haven't started the full turn over to Sunday Night Football. We'll start that tomorrow. I just want to take a little bit of a temperature check to get a feel for where you guys are right now about the Kansas City Chiefs. I looked this up during the commercial break, and I was going to play this cut for you guys. It is kind of startling how quickly the Chiefs' offense turned on a dime. I mean, the Chiefs' offense from 2018 to 2022 is one of the greatest offenses in the history of the National Football League. The Chiefs averaged 35 points a game in 2018. They averaged 28, 29, 28, 22 for the next 4 years. We're talking about a five-year stretch where the Chiefs basically averaged 29 to 30 points a game. You remember, we used to consider the Chiefs, they were like Golden State Warriors offense. You remember those third quarter blitzes that the Chiefs offense used to have? I mean, just whap, 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 up and down the field. The Chiefs used to have haymaker potential where they felt inevitable in a way. It was kind of like watching a UFC fight, and the fight might be close for a little bit, and the next thing you know, wham, you get kicked upside the head. Next thing you know, you're on your back. The other man's playing the bongos on your face, and now the referee jumps in the middle to stop the fight. Like, that's how the Chiefs' offense used to be. And then there was a shift. 2023, they averaged 21 points per game. In 2024, they averaged 22.6 points per game. So far, early on in the season, the Chiefs are averaging 19 points per game. It is just such a far cry for where this offense used to be and how we used to feel about this offense. Now, a lot of things attribute to that. A lot of you put that on the offensive coordinator. They don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. They don't have prime Travis Kelce. They have some injuries. They have these things happen. So I understand why things have shifted for them offensively. But we are talking about, we have gone from the Chiefs being one of the greatest offenses in the history of the league to being a modern to right now below average offense in today's game. So I want to play this audio for you. This is Nate Tice. He is with Yahoo. He talks about how frustrating the Chiefs offense has been so far this season.
Mahomes has turned into this amazing operator from the pocket and on top of the creation stuff. Okay, now Travis Kelce can't get open on the ad-lib stuff. So, okay, so we got to take away the creation throws. All right, so creation throws are taken out. Okay, now we can't run the ball either. So we take the running the ball out. So now it's just Mahomes scrambling or Mahomes shots. All right, now Xavier Worthy's out, Hollywood Brown's a nothing burger, and we're relying on Tyquan Thornton, Patrick Mahomes to create plays in this offense. Cool. That's a great formula. Sick. And then you look at the staff, and it's a receiver coach that's been like a GA, you know, but and then a Chiefs assistant for 5 years, and a running back coach that's not coaching up anything. So I'm just, You got Matt Nagy still on the staff. So I have no idea. It's very frustrating.
I mean, I think it's hard to really disagree with what Nate Tice is saying. I think it's really, really hard to disagree with them. You might think it's the offensive coordinator. I might think it's the GM and the parts that they've given them. We might just be on different sides of the argument of where we are when it comes to what the problem is. But I think most Chiefs fans would acknowledge, even in the face of how good they've been, man, at a lot of times it's felt like the defense has been carrying this offense, and it has been a lot of Mahomes just making magic, pulling them out of the fire and making one or two plays down the stretch. And right now, the Chiefs just, they haven't made those plays. Both of these games have been close. They haven't gotten dominated, haven't gotten blown out. They've been in these games. The difference is, I think, it's right now, the who you're asking to make those championship plays on your side as opposed to what's on the other side. We can talk about the Chargers. I mean, Quentin Johnson has turned into a legit receiver the first 2 weeks of the season. We all kind of got our jokes off about Quentin Johnston. He didn't look like he could catch early on. Man, he's off to a really, really hot start right now. A guy that they spent the first round investment on, it looks like he is kind of living up to what some of the expectations were. Ladd McConkey, 1,000-yard receiver last year, been good so far. Keenan Allen, a guy that every team in the league had a chance to go get. He was just sitting there on a one-year deal in August. He goes back to the Chargers. He's been good so far early in the season. We don't got to mention all of the weapons on the Philadelphia Eagles. They might have the most complete and well-rounded offense in the National Football League. Right now, because of the injuries that the Chiefs have, man, you're really relying on Tyquan Thornton to make plays. You're really relying on, man, we hope that we can get something from Jalen Royals. That is just a far cry from where this thing started, where, I mean, when this thing first was, I mean, Kareem Hunt was your running back, and you had Sammy Watkins as your third option at wide receiver whenever he decided to play. Now, I get it. The salary cap, you got to take some things away, and the Chiefs have just shifted that money. They've shifted a lot of that money toward the offensive and defensive line and kind of building up those things and kind of mix and matching parts when it comes to the skill position players. I want to see them at some point get back to that and just trying to give Pat more, trying to give Pat more talent at the wide receiver room, trying to get Pat more talent in the running back room, and kind of get back to where they were with the quick strike, big play offense. I told you guys this over the summer. I'll say it again. Explosive plays come from explosive players, and they just don't have that many of those players currently on their roster.
I think, and we can argue until we're blue in the face, me, you, the text line, about who the singular culprit of the problem is. But I think Nate Tice laid it out perfectly there. I think all the ingredients create one giant pot of blame. I don't think Matt Nagy is without blame. I know you've defended Matt Nagy. I can't believe that you think he is zero blame. I think Nate Tice laid it out. The wide receiver coach, who I remember 2 years ago, the text line wanted fired every single week, is still the same wide receiver coach, and their wide receivers are just, eh. Travis Kelce, I know people got mad at this show because we said, hey, he might be slowing down. I think it's pretty clear now. Travis Kelce is slowing down. The offensive line, last season had issues. This season they've been pretty good, but they still start basically a rookie at left guard and rookie at left tackle. Let's see how that goes over the course of the season. It's like all the ingredients coming together for this perfect storm of mediocrity, and it just feels like, yes, we can argue forever about who is the singular person to blame, but in reality, everyone has a hand in this problem. Everyone has to shoulder some blame, and all the people shouldering blame need to be part of the reason it gets fixed. Matt Nagy, wide receiver coach, offensive line coach, Travis Kelce finding the fountain of youth. Everyone who is part of the blame game needs to be part of the solution, because 21 points a game from Patrick Mahomes is bad.
No, you're 100% right, and this is where I'll defend Nagy maybe where some other people won't. And remember, I said this after the Super Bowl, and a lot of people were kind of jumping on me and saying, oh, you're making excuses for the Chiefs. I don't think that's what it is. If we look at Sunday's game and the players that touch the football and the players that make plays, you tell me in their offense where they have guys that you would consider them to be in their prime. Because when the Chiefs' offense was great and when it functioned, I could name 4 or 5 players you thought that they were in their prime. They were at their peak. Now, the guys that you think could be there or entering that are currently hurt. Rashee Rice is 25 years old. That's kind of when you start to hit your prime. You're in your third year. If you have a big third year, that's when you're in line to get a new contract. Xavier Worthy, who had a very productive rookie season. You bring him back. So you remove those two guys from your offense. You don't have anybody else that you would consider to be in their prime. I know Isaiah Pacheco is still on his rookie deal. He does not seem to me like a running back that is in his prime anymore. It seemed like he was in his prime 2 years ago, but injuries, time, eroding offensive line, lack of vision, whatever you think it is, you cannot look at Isaiah Pacheco and think you are watching the same running back that you watched 2 years ago. He's not that player. Kareem Hunt is 30 years old and a running back. He's not in his prime. You then go up and down the receivers that got catches. Travis Kelce led them in receiving yards. He turns 36 in 3 weeks. Tyquan Thornton. If Tyquan Thornton is your best wide receiver, you have a very lacking room at this point. Hollywood's not in his prime anymore. Nico Remigio, Juju Smith-Schuster. So I'm looking at their offense, and part of me is just like, yes, we can get mad at Matt Nagy. The difference in Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy is Bieniemy had four guys who were in their prime, two or first ballot Hall of Famers. You've given Matt Nagy basically for the last year when it comes to offensive coordinator, they didn't have their number one option. They've had virtually no run game for the last year. I don't know what more you think you can cook up with this offense based on what it is. So that's why I think we all are kind of hopeful for. All right, fast forward a month. Let's see what this looks like. You get back your 25-year-old. You get back your 23-year-old. Hopefully Jalen Royals is in the offense. You got an up-and-coming guy. You can figure out something to do. But, I mean, it is time to turn this roster over. And I think the Chiefs have gotten too comfortable with guys that know the system. Yeah, it's great to have guys that know the system, but you got to move on from Hollywood Brown and move on from the Juju Smith-Schusters. And if you look at all of the top offenses in the league, it's built around very talented 25 to 28-year-olds. That's not what Kansas City's offense appears to be built around right now. And some of that is due to injuries. Some of that is just due to they've kind of put their resources in drafts. They've put it in other spots.
We agree there. I do agree. And when we have these arguments, I don't want it to ever seem like I don't think it's any of the Jimmys and Joes. I don't want it to be like it's 100% this and none of that. You're right. And Nate Tice called Hollywood Brown a nothing burger. That might be a dramatic statement, but he's a 28-year-old who's been just whatever for the Chiefs outside of one game where he got a billion targets. Juju Smith-Schuster, you call him washed. You call him done in the league. The stats would back that up. Travis Kelce in regression. Jimmys and Joes are definitely part of the equation. Brett Veach is definitely part of the equation here for why the offense has regressed. But even within those 3 years, because it's not a two-game regression, Carrington. It's a two-plus season regression.
I agree with that.
And in those two-plus seasons, you're right. Some of the guys on the team right now are out of their prime. They had guys on the roster in their prime during that run, and the offense is still in regression. So that's where I think the Nagys, the wide receiver coaches, the Andy Reid, the coaching staff has to shoulder some of the blame, because it's not like this is a three-game problem. This has been a three-year problem now, so I think everyone has a bit of a hand in it, more than just who's on the roster in 2025.
I think some of it kind of goes back to just roster building in. You know, it was a point that you and I made during the NFL draft season. Some of it is just, you just got to take more shots. They haven't taken a lot of shots at running back.
Or receiver, for that matter.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, they've taken far more shots at wide receiver than taking a running back. Now, I get it, there's more that you keep on the roster. But, I mean, over the last four seasons, they've drafted two running backs in the seventh round. The same way now it's changed with the transfer portal. But I can usually tell you how your college is doing based on how they recruit. Look at their recruiting class. I can go back and I can look at that recruiting class and I can see where you hit and where you had failures at. I mean, it's not a surprise that their running back room has now eroded when over the last four drafts, you spent 2 seventh-round picks on running backs. Well, of course your running back room's bottom five. You ain't put no resources there. Where have you put your resources? Where have you spent your draft picks? Where are you trying to get the most out of? And they've just spent a lot of resources on offensive line and defensive line, and that's perfectly fine. You got to build through the trenches. Then those got to be the two dominant units on your football team if that's where you're going to spend your resources. And no one feels like their offensive or defensive lines are being dominant right now. That's the problem. The problem is not Jalen Royals coming back and saving them. The problem is all of the money that you have spent up front needs to perform and play well and needs to be a dominant unit, and that's not what you're getting right now. Coming up on the other side, I want to do a temperature check and see where you guys are heading into Sunday Night Football. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a very important note, and someone on the text line made it, so I at least want to give them credit for at least, I guess, spearheading the idea to lead me in the direction. Rob, I made the point to you. Every team in the NFL that you think is good can run the football, right? You've heard me make this point before. I also think that the Chiefs have maybe misplayed things from this perspective. I know, Rob, that you are very much in running back is dime a dozen. Anybody can do it. Why would you spend great resources on the position? That kind of flies in the face right now of every team that you think can win the Super Bowl. I'm looking at right now the biggest odds. I'm on FanDuel.com. Use my promo code KFNZ. I'm on FanDuel. We can go through who Vegas thinks can win the Super Bowl, and I imagine there are teams that you guys also think can win the Super Bowl. You think Baltimore can win it, right? They invested in free agency. They went out and they got Derrick Henry. We think that Buffalo can win the Super Bowl. They spent the second round pick on James Cook and also turned around and gave him a contract. You think that Green Bay can win the Super Bowl. They spent resources to go get Josh Jacobs. Philadelphia obviously can win it. Philadelphia went out and got Saquon Barkley. The Lions could win it. They got Jahmyr Gibbs. The Chargers, at least they're playing like they could win it. They spent a first round pick on a running back. Also went out and got Najee Harris. San Francisco, whoever you think is good and can do it, they currently don't treat running back like it's a, okay, we'll figure it out later position. All of these teams have invested significant resources in trying to figure out that position and use it. One thought process to me that has never made sense and didn't make sense when we were talking about devaluing the position. Your NFL team probably runs what? 1,200 plays over the course of a season? 1,300 plays? In what world does one player that touches the ball 250 times not important to your offense? Your running back touches it the most out of anybody in your offense that's not your center and your quarterback. So why we have this mentality that you can just throw nothing at the position and hope that you can maximize the production that you get just doesn't make sense to me. Now, I think that there's a balance in it. No one is saying that you need to spend the most money at the position, but I don't think you can neglect the position
And I think the Chiefs in some ways, and how we have seen the eroding of their offenses, I think they have completely neglected a position that every other offense that we think can score in the NFL is now telling you that we value. And maybe this is where the Chiefs were maybe a little bit too slow in the shift. That teams now maybe don't want to spend $17, $18 million for a number three wide receiver. Wait, we can now spend $12 million and get a top five running back in the league? Maybe that's where we can save a little bit of money and save costs, and we can try to develop that third wide receiver through the NFL draft. I think the way that teams are building their roster is shifting, and I'm not really sure if Kansas City and their roster building is shifting according to how offenses are scoring points today.
We don't need to rehash the entire running back debate, me and you. We have another 16 weeks of football, maybe more left. We have plenty of time to rehash that debate. I do think one thing about the Chiefs, though, they have tried to invest the resource running back. They just missed. That's part of this, too. And that's you never know.
They tried 5 years ago.
They used a premium pick. And if Clyde Edwards-Helaire were a guy, if he were James Cook, I know I'm cherry picking, but if he were James Cook, he'd be a guy the Chiefs want to give a second contract to and would be on his second contract now in Kansas City. And we presume would be more productive than Isaiah Pacheco. Even then, the Chiefs paid two different running backs this year in free agency. Now, they didn't pay him $20 million, but they did dole out two free agent contracts to position, including one on the first day. Kareem Hunt's been nothing, and Elijah Mitchell has somehow been less than nothing because he's never active. Yeah. Without rehashing the whole running back argument,
maybe this isn't even rehashing it. Someone on the text line said kind of what you said, but the Chiefs used a first round on Clyde and he was a bust. Do they have remorse or wary about going after another that high? That is not a logic that we would apply to any other important position in the National Football League. I mean, the Chiefs missed at D end with Felix Onyedike. No one is saying that you shouldn't draft a running or a defensive end high in the NFL draft. Does anybody have that? The Chiefs essentially spent a first round pick to go get Orlando Brown. I guess technically it didn't work out. Nobody thinks that you shouldn't spend a first round pick on left tackle because left tackle is important. So if they're now, well, we went in one thing where we spent a first round pick, we spent a big resource on running back and we missed. I mean, you kept swinging in other areas. I mean, you missed on Sky Moore. You kept using valuable picks to go get wide receivers. Like, think about it. They have spent more resources in the draft on backup tight end over the last three seasons than they've spent on running back. Jared Wiley. Think about that. Jared Wiley has how many catches for the Chiefs?
Does he have any? Like, I'm not sure what you mean. I don't know.
Just think about that. Like, they have had a Hall of Fame first ballot tight end, and they keep swinging at tight end. Why did they stop swinging on running back?
I think part of it, too, is they thought they hit on Isaiah Pacheco, which I would say pre-injury, you could argue that was a hit. Post-injury, it has been a miss. Like, I'm not trying to defend Isaiah Pacheco. You're right. They have not taken big swings at running back. We can, you know, talk about the free agents, all the things. I do think one of the reasons they stopped taking swings, is that they thought they hit pay dirt in the seventh round with Isaiah Pacheco. And if you look at his Pro Football Reference page, the first 3 years or two and a half, they kind of did. They got 900 yards and they got another 900 yards. And then he got hurt and now he's done. Like, he doesn't look like he's got much left in the NFL. So I think part of them stopping is they felt like they had their running back one, and the stats would indicate, hey, you do have running back one. We found him in the seventh round. Let's have a parade. And then he stopped producing like the find and started producing like a seventh round pick. And now the Chiefs are behind the eight ball because of it. Their belief in him is also part of the problem here. It's not just the swings.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair point. I just would say if your entire run game is wrapped up in, you feel like you struck it gold on your seventh round running back, like every other position, I would keep firing. Because it would appear Isaiah Pacheco eventually broke, right? He eventually broke. He's a running back. That's why you don't pay him for their second contract, because you know eventually they can break. I mean, we all have bought something that was relatively cheap, right? We've all bought something of little cost. Sometimes you have those for 5 years. It's like buying a cheap TV. Some of you have had that Vizio TV for 10 years. Some of you have had that Vizio TV for 6 months and the thing went out on you, right? But you go buy another television. Like, go get another one. So, yeah, you spent a seventh-round pick on Isaiah Pacheco. You feel like it broke. All right, go find another Isaiah Pacheco. Keep swinging. And I just think that's one of the ways that they have let the offense kind of erode just a little bit. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. He joined us on the show earlier today. Today is Patrick Mahomes' 30th birthday. We have been playing some of the biggest plays of his career.
Third and 15 for the Chiefs from their own 35. And San Francisco leading by 10. 7:13 to go in the game. Seven guys drop back into his deep zone here for the 49ers. Four-man rush, but those four are enough. Here they come. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing long downfield for Tyreek Hill. Got it at the 20-yard line. And then spun down there. The first giant chunk of the game on third down and 15. And Mahomes guns it for 44 yards down to the San Francisco 21-yard line.
I know that the game ended up being a double-digit win for the Chiefs, so maybe we just don't, like, think about the circumstances of the plays. And I get that point, right? Man, I don't think that we just, like, give enough, like, credit conversation to how improbable it was that they won that first Super Bowl. Just, like, if you're somebody that, like, believes in, like, win probability and just all of those things, right? Like, if you're somebody that just, like, you believe in that. I mean, it was third and 15. The Chiefs are down 20-10 and, for the most part, looked lifeless on offense. Lifeless on offense. It was going really, really bad. Mahomes played really poorly. Their run game was a little bit spotty. You were just hoping that you got any kind of momentum. And I think sort of an attribute that is going to define Patrick's career is just usually it takes one play. And that's how momentum works. It takes one play, you shift the entire momentum of the game, and the Chiefs go from down 20-10, and they themselves go on a 21-0 run in the final 8 minutes of the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl 31-20. Like, I think we all know the play, right? I just don't think we maybe acknowledge the context of it nearly enough and how 95% of teams, 97% of teams lose in that scenario. I think the Eagles are fantastic. I don't think the Eagles win that Super Bowl. Like, not with this team, not with this. I don't think they win. Down 20-10, 8 minutes to go, third and 15 in the shadow of your own, like, you got to go, like, you have to convert this drive. And if you don't convert this drive, your season is over. And the Chiefs then on that drive, 44-yard pass, they got a big play on a pass interference. It puts the ball on the goal line, touchdown, and then it really spurred them the rest of the way. I mean, they scored a touchdown. I think it was on their first drive, the Mahomes run where he gets up and then the whole Mike Florio thing. They then score a touchdown on their final three drives, and they win the Super Bowl 31-20. They outscore the Niners 21-0 in the final 15 minutes of the game. I mean, it won't be discussed like this historically. That is one of the great comebacks in Super Bowl history that the Chiefs won, that first one against the San Francisco 49ers.
What's crazy about that one, and I agree with you, is you could argue that's not even the biggest comeback the Chiefs have had, like, in a postseason run with Patrick Mahomes. Like, a lot of teams, a lot of NFL history books, if we were sitting down and we were doing the show in, what's a town that's won a Super Bowl? Philadelphia, that Super Bowl win, if it had gone the same, is probably the greatest comeback in the history of the postseason for the franchise. That's not even Patrick Mahomes' greatest comeback in the history of his time with the Chiefs. You could argue it might not be two, and it's just an incredible comeback. Like, what he was able to do in that game, I think, is forgotten to history a little bit because there have been so many other super incredible things that he's done over the course of his time as the quarterback of the Chiefs in the postseason alone.
I want to play play a couple more of these for this segment. We're just been taking a trip down memory lane. Today is Patrick Mahomes' 30th birthday. We talked to him about it. We'll play that for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't think people would consider this to be his number one play. I think you could make a really strong case that the scramble that Pat makes in the Super Bowl win against the Eagles is the best play of his career. I don't know if it would be number one on a lot of other people's countdown. I think you can make a really strong case that this is the best play of his career.
Game tied, 35 apiece. Pacheco's the running back. Tony comes in motion. Here comes pressure to the outside. As Mahomes steps up, he's going to scramble. He's at the 40, bad ankle, 30, bad ankle, 20. Tackled from behind down to the Eagle, 18-yard line, a 25-yard scramble. What bad ankle. He is limping back to the huddle. Don't underestimate how tough Patrick Mahomes is.
I've been quoting this a lot lately, but it was just something that really stood out to me, where Emmitt Smith says in the Cowboys doc, he says, I didn't consider myself a great player until I realized that I could play great in the face of pain. I dislocated my shoulder. They're telling me that maybe I shouldn't play, but I have to be there for my guys. I told them to put my shoulder back in place, and I ran for 150 yards, and I was just proud of myself because I overcame it. I just think back to that week, the conversation around Pat. I remember when we had him on the show. You remember his energy just sounded very different. Remember that, Rob? Like, we talked to Pat enough. I can kind of tell. I can tell when he's in a good mood, bad mood. We talk enough. I just remember he just felt very tired that week. He felt very different heading into it. And just for him to make that play in that moment against that team in a game that was just so back and forth, a great shootout against an Eagles team that, if I'm remembering correctly, they had the most sacks for any defensive line in the history of the National Football League, just shows you the kind of player that he is. I made this point earlier that Mahomes has just created this Jordan-like highlight montage where Mike has put together just so many incredible, all-time memorable plays. The shot over Elo, the last shot against the Utah Jazz. Like, if you like Jordan in basketball, you can think of 15 of these memories that he has created. Man, Pat has done that in a very, very short period of time. And obviously, the journey is not over. The last clip that I want to play for you guys, this is the analogy I'll make. I think Denzel's acting at the end of Training Day, I think it is impossible to act better than that. The very end, the King Kong, that line, just for that 5 minutes, it is an absolute masterclass. And just, he is this character. He is the cop that turned rogue. He thinks he's bigger than the system. He goes off. Like, those 5 minutes, I'm telling you, it's a A1 masterful performance. I think Mahomes had that moment in their last Super Bowl win. Those final two drives, this is what you dream of as a kid. Your team is down. You need to go down the field and put together back-to-back drives to go win the Super Bowl. You got to get points by any means necessary. This is the fourth quarter. Your team has the ball, less than 5 minutes to go. You got to put together a drive for your team to go to overtime. They did it. I mean, it wasn't ideal. I mean, Creed Humphrey rolls a snap to him. I mean, it was watching a master paint. That's what it was like. It was like watching Da Vinci paint in real time. And then we all knew heading into overtime, all right, well, I don't really know why you would choose to play offense first. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know if you really know the rules of how this thing works, but all right, Kyle Shanahan, you think you know better. They then decide to kick the field goal, and now you are faced with, if you go score a touchdown, your team will win the Super Bowl. And Mahomes puts together another drive, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl again.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! McCole Hardman! McCole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game. 25-22. And the Chiefs' kingdom has started its own history class. Because for the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion. And it is the Kansas City Chiefs, champions of Super Bowl 58 on the heels of Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs do it in overtime.
If you got some free time today, I encourage you to just go back and watch the final two drives of that Super Bowl and tell me that you think it's possible for a quarterback to play the position better than we saw Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we've seen other guys do it at that level. I mean, I remember Brady's first Super Bowl and John Madden in real time saying that he would knee out the ball and go to overtime, and Brady just surgically puts a drive to give Adam Vinatieri a chance to win the game, and Madden apologized in real time and said, we just watched Joe Montana. It was that feeling. We have to score here on this drive or our season is over, and just calmly, just surgical down the field, and then had to do the exact same thing again in overtime, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. We've been celebrating Patrick Mahomes' career. Today is his 30th birthday. I made the point in the open. I think you could argue that Patrick Mahomes is the most accomplished 20-something-year-old NFL player in the history of the league. If you are looking at what a player accomplished from ages 20 to 30, I don't think you would find an NFL player who had done more. There's been some all-time great careers. I don't know if you would find a football player that from 20 to 30 had done more, won more, accomplished more on an individual and a team level than the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll play our conversation with him coming up at the top of the hour. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. You're listening to The Drive. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me give you an update right now from friend of the show, Nate Taylor. This is a headline on ESPN.com. Chiefs Xavier Worthy practices in full and hopes to play against the Giants. Let me read a part of this for you. Speedy Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy, recovering from a dislocated right shoulder, took another positive step on Wednesday towards returning for Sunday Night Football. Worthy, who suffered the injury in the season opener, he was a limited participant in practice. And unlike last week, Worthy was seen running routes during the open portion of practice without extra padding on his right arm. The Chiefs are optimistic that Worthy will play in Sunday's game and is expected to wear a harness. So, all things considered, man, the Chiefs really dodged one. This could have been real bad for Kansas City. It could have been what happened to the Packers. The Packers lost Jaden Reed. He broke his collarbone. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. The fact that from the moment that you saw the Xavier Worthy injury from you thinking what it could possibly be, for him just missing one game and you getting him back for Sunday Night Football, and in theory for the final four games of the Rashee Rice suspension, is a blessing. It really is. It's a blessing that this has happened. So I don't know why Xavier Worthy wouldn't play. He practiced last Thursday. He practiced last Friday. He practiced today. You would have to imagine he practices the rest of the week. I don't know why he wouldn't play in this game. Now, Jalen Royals is a little bit of a different conversation. He didn't practice last week. He hasn't been practicing for quite some time. So maybe he ends up playing in this because the Chiefs feel a little bit of urgency to try to go win this one. Maybe they hold him off to next week. But you gotta be optimistic about this news that Xavier Worthy practiced, he was running routes, and the Chiefs feel optimistic that he is gonna play, and they obviously feel like he can protect himself and he can deal with the punishment that it takes to play in an NFL game.
Yeah. Cool. Xavier Worthy's gonna play. Whatever. I'm a little perturbed, Carrington. A little miffed back here. I put in a lot of work pre-show to find cuts and audio that improve this show. I've seen the ratings. We do a pretty good job. We do an okay job. We pass the test.
You want me to pat you on the back for doing your job responsibility?
I think I do a pretty good job of finding the audio
on
the show.
Producer, you have to help produce content.
You played an audio clip that I had to surf the internet to find. I had to wade through a bunch of podcasts, and I found an elite cut for this show. You played 2 seconds of it, went to break. We should be talking about this, not Xavier Worthy, this cut for 4 hours today.
Darren Peterson, who's going to Kansas.
Oh, okay.
He is the number one high school player this year. Just from all accounts, he's Kobe, like the Kobe prototype of just like the 6'5" Booker, like guard with size, does everything, plays both ends, and I think he gets the Edwards spot in 2028.
We should be talking every moment of this show. It's a Wednesday. Who cares? We play Mahomes. Talk about Darren Peterson. He's the next Kobe. We talked about Cooper Flagg on this show when Bill Simmons on that same podcast was waxing poetically about how good he looked in Vegas against the Olympic team. He's now waxing poetically about the next Kobe Bryant who plays 30 minutes down the road, and you're giving this topic 30 seconds? It's outlandish, Carrington. That should have been the lead today, and that's why I'm patting myself on the back for finding this audio on a podcast you love.
Okay. All right, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. I'll give this 60 seconds of our time. I've never asked you to talk college basketball in the middle of September. That's never a time I've been like, hey, you know what? We need to figure out things to talk about. Why don't you get us a college basketball topic? It's not the case. Never happened. Not one time. Kobe Bryant? When he said takes the Edwards spot, is he trying to imply that Anthony Edwards is not going to participate in the Olympics?
It's not,
and that Darren Peterson is going to take his spot?
Is that Anthony Edwards hopes to one day be Darren Peterson. That's Bill Simmons' point.
Got it. Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about with Darren Peterson? Can we move forward? Do you feel like you've gotten all the Darren Peterson out of your system? This is our show. I don't want you to think that only I want you to feel like you can contribute.
Here's what I'm going to do. Every week from now until the start of basketball season, I'm going to find Darren Peterson audio, and we're going to dedicate a segment to it.
Okay.
Once a week.
Okay.
I would love it to be once a show. We'll just do once a week, though.
Okay,
that's
fair.
I get how people are.
How about this? You don't tell me when that segment's going to be. And just, hey, you just, in the middle, you decide to throw a challenge flag. You're allowed to override decisions. You're going to throw a challenge flag, and you think that we should talk about the number one high school basketball player going to Kansas. I just would like to point out, I remember when you guys felt this level of excitement about Josh Selby. I remember when you guys told me that Andrew Wiggins was, what were you calling him? Maple Jordan or Toronto? I don't know what you were calling him.
It was Maple Jordan.
So I'm just saying, every time you guys act like this, it never works out. So, I mean, hey, but if you want to do this again, if you're excited, and I get it. I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade. I want everybody to be happy. I want Missouri fans to be happy. I want K-State fans. I want KU. I want everybody to be happy. So if that's what makes you happy, Rob, yes, I will put you in charge of it. We can have the Darren Peterson corner. Can we keep it to like 245? maybe like 2:45 on like a Tuesday.
You don't
that
think
like a great time?
You don't think 5 to 5:15 on Monday
like
is the window
to do it? Yeah, this is like a really good time. That's what I would encourage you to do. I want to play this last bit. Can we move on now? You got all your Derek Peters now?
We can move on.
Okay, all right. I'll make sure you're happy. That's what this show is about, making Rob happy. The drive to make Rob happy. I know you guys think that famous people are so much different than us. And when you meet them, you're like, oh, they're a regular person. Bradley Cooper was on a date with, Gigi Hadid, right? That's her name? One of the most beautiful women in the world. Supermodel. I mean, just, you know. The kind of woman you would date if you're Bradley Cooper. They were on a date. Listen to what Bradley Cooper was doing during the date.
Why do you just cancel the date or like reschedule the date? Like, why do I need to be? If you set aside time to be with me, a date, you're supposed to be focusing on each other. You're not supposed to be focusing on a game.
Spoken just like a woman who doesn't know how long the NFL season is.
Okay.
Girl, you will never go on that date.
So they were on a date during the Chiefs and Eagles game. Bradley Cooper, big Eagles fan. And on the date, he has the game on his phone, and he's watching it while they're on this date. Bradley, we've all been there before. I don't want to be with anybody. If I can't pull up, you're telling me I care enough about you to go on a date with you while my team is, this is a big game. It's a Super Bowl rematch. You know I was at the Super Bowl last year. I could be at this game, but I'm here eating with you. If I can't pull up my phone and I can't watch the third quarter while we're here, what are we doing here? You're not the one. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and watch the whole game. I mean, we're going to leave here and then go somewhere to watch the game. But yeah, there's always dead time in the middle of the dinner. Hey, let me just, can I check the score real quick? Let me just check the score. Can I see if they're winning? Let me see if they're up. I'll put my phone away. We can continue our meal. Yeah. Come on now. This is her fault. This is poor planning. Bradley Cooper did not schedule this date for Sunday at 4:25 Eastern. She scheduled this. He's like, yeah, of course, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. Now, we need to be done by this time. I got to catch the second half. But yeah, I mean, we've all been in this situation. You're telling me that Rob's going to miss Darren Peterson's debut? No, he's watching it on his phone. Bradley Cooper, you all right, man. You know what? I might watch Silver Linings Playbook just to show you my support that you are one of us. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.